1, 2, 3.
Round, round, get around.
I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
All right, welcome to the Monday Nooner Senior Hockey Top 10 Show for this week. Boys are going to be counting down the 10 biggest wagons in senior hockey for General Well Servicing out there in Southeast Saskatchewan. Of course, this podcast brought to you by the King of Trucks in Rosetown, Kindersley, Watrous at Manitou, Salvi as well, GM, Chrysler, whatever you're after. Check out the King of Trucks Mainline Automotive Group. A lot of sponsors here on the pod, and we appreciate each and every one of the sponsors who chooses to be a part of our show. Of course, a lot of senior hockey talk here this week. We've got the crew spread out. We got Barry joining us from somewhere foreign. I can see a palm tree in the backdrop, maybe a cerveza or a dirty monkey or something in your hand there. Where are you coming to us from?
Riviera Nayarita. Actually, I think it's Huguera Blanco is the actual area. Nice little resort here. Yeah, taking it all in. Happy to hop on with the fellows for 45 minutes and have a couple cervezas.
Yes, Belter still out with tonsillitis. 4-week injury, should be his last week on the shelf, hopefully back with us next week. He did send his notes for Div 3, so happy to share those a little bit later on in the show. We got Millsy with us. Josh Miller, senior hockey correspondent, senior correspondent for the Nooner. Millsy, thanks for joining us again this week.
Yeah, fellas. Hey, thanks again, fellas. It's been a pleasure. I enjoy doing these. Looking forward to this week's show and a little bit of intriguing movement in our top 10.
Absolutely. And you join us this week again. Happy to announce that the Nooner has locked you up until the end of March. We've signed you on a one-way contract for the next 5 weeks. You're going to have boots on the ground and you're going to be joining us on every senior show. For those that don't know, Millsy gets to a ton of games. And if he's not at a lot of the games, he knows somebody who is. So he's been a valuable resource for us here. So happy to have you join us for the rest of the senior season. And we will have a mic for you. We're going to invest in a microphone for you going forward for the rest of the senior hockey season after today. So happy to have you. Let's get right into what everyone's talking about, senior provincials. I think we start with provincials this week, and let's talk about senior A. And I guess down to the final eight, the elite eight, I was calling it, Millsy, and senior A provincials.
Intriguing matchups and some lopsided games, I guess, that weren't expected when I first looked at this draw.
What stands out to you about the eight teams that are left? Because I think a lot of people would have had Wadena there, Watrous there, Kindersley, okay, Keniston. Any surprises, any teams that have caught your attention that you didn't think would have got this far?
So, fellas, this final eight is exactly the final eight that I had on my paper here. I changed one in the Nooner draft, and it obviously cost me a perfect bracket, but that's
Which one?
Milestone Round Lake. I got Round Lake here on mine when I filled out the pod. I changed it back to Milestone. So we do another one with some buddies, just a local one, a couple of buddies of mine, and I've got Round Lake in that one. So still looking good in that one.
You hedged your bet. That's what you did.
I did.
I'm gonna go Round Lake and this one, Milestone and that one.
The biggest surprise was the game two of that Lumsden-Drake game last Friday night in Lumsden.
Yeah, I had boots on the ground there. Wow. Yeah, it was – Drake never honestly looked like they came to play, but Lumsden is just so deep. Like, had I known how deep they were, I think they're the front runners now to win provincial. They literally, fellas, have four lines who can play, it seems like, at all times in all situations. They've got a solid decor. McCauley looked good, but he only had 11 shots, and none of them were overly high dangered from what I remember. That was over a week ago. But I think Lumsden would be the favorite in senior A from what I saw with my eyeballs there last Friday.
I can't wait to see Lumsden. I think I'm going to go watch Lumsden Balcaris on Sunday night. And I think we can all agree that it is hard to be a wagon year after year after year. Drake's had a hell of a run. I think it was bound. You know, they probably lost some guys, and it's just hard to keep up. We've seen Bethune go through it. We've seen Rosetown go through it. Balgoni go through it. Right. So I think it would just be hard for Drake to go deep again and have the squad that they did the last 2 years. But you know, like, I haven't seen Lumsden play, like you're saying, but from all accounts, they are the real deal. I'm really pumped to watch that final eight and how it shakes down.
Millsy, you caught Carlisle once in Balgoni. Granted, it was their first provincial game. It was on the road, weeknight, whatever. What do you think their chances are against Round Lake? You have saw both of those teams with your eyeballs.
I feel Round Lake wins that one.
They seem too quick. Carlisle did not impress me that night in Balgoni. Like you said, it was a Wednesday night. They were missing a couple guys. Their goaltending was suspect that night. I've understood they've made a few adjustments to that. So, but I don't know if they're deep enough to compete with a Round Lake team of three lines that play with speed and the size they got.
And they're freaking fans, man. Like, I watched that game on Live Bar on Sunday. I couldn't make it out to Milestone. But some of the videos I saw, it must have been 80% Round Lake fans on the road in Milestone.
When I told you that, after going there on game one, that I bet you Round Lake brought 600 fans, because we did some counting. You know how you count rows, then you count sections, and you try and get your best guess. It is, the support they are getting is unreal. And then if we want to get into that game, like, I thought Round Lake, I didn't watch game two. I don't know if you guys watched game two, but I heard game two, Round Lake was super intimidating. And it would be a packed OCHAP barn, right? It would be. But then they just continued it. And that Winston Day Chief really impressed me for just, and then who is the other guy that just got inserted in the lineup? He coaches university in Alberta.
Played game three. He was number one player on the ice, I thought, that night in game three, coming back from Mount Royal.
Tyler Fiddler. Yeah, you're right. So, you know, I haven't seen Carlisle play. I don't know what to expect. It is going to be feisty. You know, Jesse Gabriel out there, John Morasti on the ice. That'll be really interesting.
Ooh, and see if those two go.
Carlisle, should we delve into the allegations about the goaltending and what we've been hearing and what people have been messaging us?
Yeah, I think absolutely we should, as long as we preface with allegedly or two that this is all speculation. So from what I understand, Carlisle had their number one goalie go down at some point. Audette, I believe, is Landon Audette, something like that. So they picked up a goalie from Oxbow for game two against Balgoni, right, in Carlisle. From what I heard, boots on the ground, that game should have been a blowout for Carlisle, except for one man, Brandon Holtby, who single-handedly kept Balgoni in game two. I guess he was unbelievable for the Bisons. Speculation that Carlisle was working the phones to pick up Holtby, because you are allowed to pick up a goalie who has been eliminated. Millsy, have you got any clarification on this? Because they already picked up one goalie. Can they pick up and can they drop him, pick up a different guy? Does that guy have to get quote-unquote hurt to be released to pick up another guy? What's the situation there?
And was my understanding
of that, Boz, was once they pick up the one, then he is now your injury replacement, unless he gets hurt as well. And it has to be from a division below or equal or below. So I'm surprised that I thought it was just below. And I'm now wondering how they can pick up Balgoni's goalie if it's in the same division. They would have to go to a BC or D registered center. But again, I haven't looked up the SHA regulations to know exactly the ins and outs of that.
Yeah, well, I guess we did hear from some pretty good sources that calls were being fielded on him. So I'm not sure. By the time this comes out, things might be either happening or not happening. But that was the speculation that Carlisle was looking at picking up a stud goalie again, and obviously would improve their chances on the odds against the Round Lake Bears. We mentioned that series. We got Lumsden and Balcaris. That's going to be a doozy of a series. Start Sunday. Over in the north, you got Wadena and Watrous, two Long Lake rivals. I think we all would make Wadena the favorite in that one, but Watrous also a dangerous team. And then you get Kennison and Kindersley. And I did see Kindersley's roster, some pickups there. I don't think the senior Clippers are going to be necessarily a pushover for Kennison, but what do you see there, Millsy?
Yeah, I agree.
I still think I've seen Kennison a couple times in league, and from knowing some of their, seeing their roster and seeing some of their pickups, I think they win that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that goes three and they pull out a game three win on the road in Kindersley. They're starting Sunday, obviously, in Kindersley, and it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out on a Sunday evening for league playoffs going on and all that sort of stuff. So it'll be it should be a good series.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know you talked about getting to OCHAP maybe Sunday. I'm thinking about getting to Lumsden. So we're going to spread our boots out and get to a couple different barns, hopefully, this weekend, taking some senior provincials. Why don't we hop over to Senior B, where we are down to the final eight.
Senior C.
I've done that like five times. It's just habit. But Senior C, every series is underway. Bit of a surprise in Kenora, or in Dinsmore, actually. The Kenora Cobras go in and beat the Dinsmore Dynamos 4-3 on the road. Millsy, a chance to close it out for Kenora this weekend.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, that was a little bit of a surprise for me. I felt Dinsmore is quite a top team, and obviously Kenora, whatever they've done with their roster or did that night in shutting down a Dinsmore, a pretty potent Dinsmore offense, to come away with a 4-3 win on the road is impressive. Now going home with two chances to secure a northern or a southern semifinalist, I guess, or southern finals.
Northern.
Oh, yeah, they're up in north.
When is game two and game three?
They are going Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, so all these series, actually the deadlines is Monday or the 26th for all these series. So we will be down to the final four in B by the end of the weekend. In the other
C.
Jeez, drink. You're calling them frickin' South. I'm calling them frickin' B. It's C and it's
east,
north.
West. It's and east, the Wilk- west.
Hey, yeah. Can I ask you guys one question while you guys figure out the C and B and north and south? If you had one surprise in C, both of you guys, who would it be? That's not there. Maybe someone that's not there that you picked.
Well, to me, there's only one that really would stand out, and that would be Grenfell, but they got Kyle. Like, every other series to me didn't seem overly surprising that they got where they are. Myself, but
I think that Kyle Grenfell, but again, you could have Kyle Grenfell, Davidson Carndiff, they're all on that side, and you could have put in a hat of who plays who. Somebody's getting the raw end of the deal of those five teams, and some of those top five teams are knocked out.
I feel like you ask this because you want to answer this from Mexico.
No, I just, you know, I think the fans need to know what you guys, what the pundits think. Okay, let's move on to D then. Go ahead.
C.
I just made the long walk to the lobby bar to get two more cervezas. Let's roll.
So Wilkie beats Bigger 9-3 in game one. That series, likely the Outlaws going to advance. We would all agree that that'll probably happen in game two. Nice to see Bigger get a couple of rounds of provincials in for sure, and the Jubilee rocking. In the south for C, Carnduff and Langenberg at the bottom. Those two teams got a bye in round one. 10-2 for Carnduff in game one. That score maybe surprised me a little bit. It wasn't a little more competitive from Langenberg, but Carnduff puts up a statement there in game one. In the other series, Kyle and Davidson, what could be one of the best series in provincials, any division. Kyle wins game one, 3-2. Be interested to see how Davidson bounces back this weekend. And on a more serious note, fellas, I just wanted to give a plug to the community of Davidson. Tragedy there last weekend. Can't imagine what that community's going through, the community as a whole, right? It's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. Unspeakable tragedy there. And like I think they said on their social media for the Cyclones, they played Keniston earlier in the week. Just puts in perspective, I guess, how unimportant these league playoff games are when you have something like that go through your community. So just wanted to give a plug to everyone in Davidson. Stay strong out there. And hopefully the Cyclones can give the community something to cheer about this weekend.
It'll be interesting on that one.
If Corey Allen ends up playing, I have a suspicion that he will try to dress. He did play game three against Outlook, but the eyes that I had on the ground there said he wasn't 100%. So he sat out game one against Kyle, gives him another week off here, and see, I'm assuming he will try give her a go in a do-or-die game two in Kyle.
If it's the injury that I heard he has, I would have thought just a nice 2.5-3 week rest on it would have got him back to where, because I think we've both done this numerous times, and a good 2-3 weeks and you ice the shit out of it and you maybe a little rehab, but mostly just ice. So yeah, I'm curious to see, because that guy makes them tick just a couple extra notches.
Gives the
opposition another worry on the ice, and so it'll be really interesting. And like you said, Barney, I hope he can play and he can be up to 90-ish% and give the Cyclones a little bit more of a chance in that.
So what do we got, Millsy? Saturday in Kyle, potentially, yes. Sunday back at the AGT in Davidson if necessary.
Correct. 8 o'clock Saturday night, 7 o'clock in Kyle, 8 o'clock back in Davidson, game three Sunday evening.
So yeah, I think all the pundits would say Wilkie and Carnduff are sure to likely advance, but some uncertainty in Dinsmore, Kenora, and Davidson, Kyle. Those two could go either way this weekend. And it's funny because Bracket Busters there for sure in our bracket challenge. Shout out GB Construction, Grain Bin Direct, Crazy Charlie's Building Supplies, and GNS Marina for the bracket challenge. One perfect bracket remaining. Guy by the name of Tyler Rumpel. So we'll find out if Tyler can keep his perfect bracket here in some of these series that are, I'd say, somewhat 50-50 here in Senior C.
Do you know anything about Mr. Rumpelstiltskin? Like, is he a senior hockey guy? Where is he from? What's his team? What's his allegiance?
I don't, although Rumpel can be a bit of a hockey name, I think, in Sask. I do have a buddy who said, I think I went to college with that guy. Actually, I got a text saying that about 15 years ago. I think he went to college with Rumps, but I don't have any ties to him. I don't know where he's from.
We should start an allegedly he's an unbelievable goalie and see how fast some teams call him as an emergency backup.
We might need some line of clothing with an allegedly on it. We might have to brand that into a big senior hockey guy, allegedly. Okay, Senior D Provincials down to the final eight as well. A couple series that, well, we'll mention them all. Macklin gets Eston in the north. Delisle and Shelbrooke, both teams coming off of a bye. They haven't played any provincials yet. The other side of the bracket, the Crake Warriors take on Redvers. Crake hasn't played a game in forever. Like, it's going to be like 5 weeks without a game.
Same as Delisle and Shelbrooke. And I actually just put on my notes here. It's like that Memorial Cup host. And they lose in the first round, sit for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and then get to restart training camp again. So it'll be interesting to see if
guys are working, freaking women, kids are bothering. It's like, when's the last time you skated? I don't know, January 15th.
Or did they go to Mexico for 2 weeks and take their vacation and now come back all recharged and ready to go?
Yeah.
The other series that is going to be interesting in the Fishing Lake Hockey League. It used to be Fishing Lake Hockey League rivals, right? The Foam Lake Flyers and the Theodore Buffaloes. Many years ago, they were rivals, not too far away geographically as well. Holm Lake gets into a little bit of an altercation there in league. I'm sure everybody or a lot of people saw the video. Their dust up after the overtime winner against Wynyard. Millsy, from what we've heard from suspensions in the long lake, it's going to affect Wynyard more than Foam Lake. Might not have much of an impact on Foam Lake's roster. I heard some rumors that some of their top-end guys were maybe going to be suspended, but I don't think that is the case as of now, allegedly.
As I last checked this afternoon, and we got some input from another insider, the Forsbergs got a couple game suspensions each, 3 and 4, I believe, and then the Foam Lake player got some games too. But when I looked up the roster, I didn't recognize him, so I had to go do some digging around looking him up, and he hadn't played a game yet. So I don't know if that really affects their provincial run.
Last name Carson, K. Carson, Kelly,
Jeff's nephew, yeah.
Curtis. We've always the car, great tune.
Yeah, so that
and yeah. Sorry, Buzz, just to jump in for some of those that don't understand or don't know that sort of rule, if you get a suspension in one of league or provincials, you have to sit out those games. So he can't, it's not like the next two provincial games count and he can play game three of the league. It's he has to sit out the 3 or 4 games that he got of league play before he can play any provincials. So that's, if they go 5 games, he could play the league final of that. And that's, so.
I totally forgot that's how it worked. That is absolutely fucked. Like, what drives you, especially in 2024? Like, I can see 80s, 90s, you know, early 2000s, guys, you know, cross their wires and they fucking get suspended. But nowadays, and those are decent players too, that's a long sit. Like, okay, you cost your team. Machismo to cost your team.
So, hypothetically, rules analyst Josh Miller with us here. Hypothetically, if you get a 4 game in league and you're telling me you got to serve those before you can play provincials, okay? What if you lose out of league?
Then I think it comes
into you can count the provincials once your league. Okay. Like, so if they lost out in the first round, he got suspended in the first game of the first round and they lost out the next night, but he got 4 games. Then I believe the suspension could roll into the next available games. But if they're still playing in one of the others, they can't utilize both because the rule, and I always had this discussion and this argument back when I was playing, but SHA says because the rosters change, quote unquote, you have to go by that team. So that's, yeah.
Yep. No, for sure. Just throwing allegedly on the end of that. So nobody comes after you if you get that wrong. If you have any other questions on that, you can at Kelly McClintock or Trent Say with Hockey Saskatchewan. They'd be happy to take your calls, as I'm sure they don't have any other calls coming in right now over at the Hockey Sask offices. Okay, why don't we jump over to, why don't you jump into the Long Lake, Millsy, now that we're fresh off the Wynyard Foam Lake dust up there. Why don't you shuffle in your notes to the Long Lake? I'm kind of throwing that one at you off the spot. But yeah, what's going on in the Long Lake? We're down to the final four, I think.
Yeah, we are. And so Drake, as we just talked about, and I mentioned it a couple pods ago, they were on fire and thinking they were going to make a little run here. And then they ran into a wagon of the Beach Boys and got a little bit of humble pie. So they are now on a little bit of a skid. They lose that provincial game 11-0 in Lumsden, muster up 11 shots. Then they go into Wadena last Tuesday and take a thumping 9-1. So 20 goals in 2 games. The old meat sweats have given up. Not sure what's going on there. But game 2 of that series goes back in Drake on Friday night tonight. So see what happens and what Drake can come up with some players and some revenge in that one. The other semi has, like you sort of mentioned to it earlier, the 2-seeded Foam Lake Flyers are taking on the 3-seeded Wynyard Monarchs. Wynyard. And they started Tuesday night as well. Foam Lake was down 3-1 going into the third and come back and win at 4-3 in overtime on a goal by Justin Boyer. And then that's when the melee happened, and we get into these potential suspensions that everybody's seen, and everybody's seen the video walking through the social medias. So interesting to see. The Forsberg's got a couple games, I think I heard, so that'll hurt their chances in moving forward as well in that one.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Drake, and I did want to say in Lumsden there in Provincials, they only had one goalie dressed. It was Calvin Bartel, and I believe based on the website, Ty Morin would be their starter. He played 14 games in the regular season. It looks like Bartel also played game one against Wadena, and their starter there didn't play. So I don't know if he's hurt, if he's in Mexico at
on Mexico vacation,
Blanco with Barry or what, but he's been gone for a while. And let's just be honest, they could have had frickin' Curtis Joseph and Ned Lumsden, they still would have lost. They got outshot 45-11, so not blaming Bartel at all. But
Cujo. Cujo, St. Louis Cujo or Toronto
no, Cujo? Notre Dame Cujo.
Or Oilers Cujo.
I don't know why that name came. You know why that name came to mind?
Probably the worst. There's got to be something good here because that would have been a freaking... Oh,
my bookshelf.
You could have picked.
My bookshelf. I got the Ken Dryden. It was either Cujo or Ken Dryden or Kelly Rudy. I got those three books here on my shelf.
Big.
But yeah. I went Cujo.
You do the pod from your library.
Go ahead, Bart.
My study.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. It just takes me back to when I used to drink a lot of beer at the Yurd and Flagon in Saskatoon.
Coming to us live poolside. Yeah. Is that all for the Long Lake, Millsy? Is there anything else you want to mention out there?
I think I was just going to give a little shout out to the scoring race. Travis Mahan, who led the league in the regular season with 63 points in the 18 games, is the playoff leader right now, 2-11 points in 3 games.
And then the Riviera
followed by his teammate, Tyler Sandu with 8 and Tyler Dea. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong, with 7 points. So, couple of Wadena Wildcats in the mix too. Torrey Dick and Tyson Hobbins have 6 points as well.
That Sandu is interesting. He was a really late season pickup. He's not on the provincial roster. I looked him up. He's from British Columbia, maybe out working at the Arden Flagon or something, bartending and commuting to Foam Lake. I don't know, but he's new to senior hockey in the province from what I can tell, and not on the provincial roster. What's next, Millsy? You've got the... notes in front of you. Where do you want to go?
We can go anywhere. We can go to the Sask East. I got those right here.
Sure.
So, yeah, in the Sask East in the North, Kenora's now waiting for their second-round opponent. Swan Valley and Theodore are going to a deciding game 3 Friday night tonight. So we'll see where that one goes. Kenora's waiting for that winner. And then in the South, Rokenville beat Churchbridge. And the third-seeded Langenberg Warriors upset the Wapella Blackhawks, the 2-seed, in that South semifinal. And their series starts in Rokenville tonight, Friday night. Game 2 goes 1 week next Friday in Langenberg. And then just as we did, talking about the scoring race, 3-way tie for the lead. Carter Cockburn from Swan Valley, Troy Zeliniak from the Cobras, and Riley Zimmer from the Warriors all have 7 points. That is your Sask East hockey report.
I'm going to take us, and I don't know what kind of notes you got or if they were alleged or if you're actually serious. Just go to the White Mud because I'm really intrigued in the White Mud Hockey League final. We got the Maple Creek Hawks and the Gull Lake Greyhounds. Big up to the RM of Maple Creek Hawks. They took down Shaunavon, the 2-seed. Underdogs, I love it. The Badgers won that first game. Then the Hawks rattled off 2 and 3. Badgers scrappy in game 4 to get it to game 5. And then the fucking Hawks double them up. On the road, double them up at the Fred Farnsworth Coliseum. And then they advance. Maple Creek, Gull Lake. What is that? That's about an hour apart. Drive the double lane highway now. Can stop in Tompkins. Get a coffee or they used to have a nice pickled egg somewhere in a bar down. Was it Tompkins Bar? I mean, I used to skate with the Shaunavon guys. So I'm loving the White Mud. How it's there's some a little bit of controversy, but an underdog has punched their ticket to the league final. And we all know Gull Lake is a good squad. So Maple Creek's going to have to be buzzing. And then as far as that schedule guy, when that starts, it's tonight, February 23rd. Are we releasing this on Friday or Thursday?
It's Thursday today. So yeah, Friday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when do I fly home? Friday, 8 p.m. in Gull Lake. And then they go right back at it tomorrow night in Maple Creek.
Fuck, I'd say like
go to that one.
Kind of like house money for the Stinky Cans, right? They got nobody expected them to get this far. I think they'll give Gull Lake a run for their money out there. Obviously the Greyhounds, the heavy favorites, but
and a big plug to whoever's doing the social for the Maple Creek Hawks, doing some yeoman's work there as well. Good job.
Why don't we head over to the Sask West Hockey League? I had a chance to watch a little bit of a game the other night on Live Barn from bed because, man, those 8:30 puck drops are a tough sell on a Wednesday night. And I tuned in because I saw that Wilkie and Macklin were tied late. And obviously we know Millsy, Wilkie hasn't lost a game yet this year. Like, what are they, like 22-0 at this point with provincials and league playoffs and such? The Outlaws managed to knock off the number 5 seed Macklin Mohawks. Macklin has always give Wilkie a tough run the last number of years. 3-2 in overtime. Round Lake Bears stud plays forward ND, can do whatever you need. Colton Baptiste gets the game winner for the Outlaws. He plays league in Wilkie, playing with Round Lake in provincial. So he scored the OT winner there on Wednesday night.
Two goals in the Round Lake deciding game 3 in Milestone last Sunday.
So yeah, Baptiste playing good hockey right now. Game 2 goes in Macklin on Sunday, and then they got a week off before game 3. So see if the Mohawks can bounce back at home ice in that semifinal series. The other one fires up tonight as we record that Thursday night. So not sure of the outcome in Kindersley as the 2-seed Senior Clippers take on the 3-seed Hafford Pesky Hawks. Game 2 is Saturday back in Hafford. So we're down to the final 4 in the Sask West. I want to give a little plug for statistician Phil Heilman out there. Wilkie guy does a tremendous job on the website, getting things updated, tremendous job on social media with scores and such. So a little plug for him. Johnny Calkins leading the league in playoff scoring for Kindersley. Johnny on the spot, as they say, 7 points in 2 playoff games.
Man, McCauley's boy. All right, let's go quickly to the Wheatland Hockey League. And it is getting real in the Sweetland, boys. How about some big props to the Kinistano Tigers? They got that series tied up with Tisdale. They're tied 1-1 going into game number 3 tonight in Tisdale, the Rexplex. Too bad Hannigan's Hamburgers isn't open anymore. Love that. And then the other series, Jansen, they're down 2-0 to the powerful St. Brew Lake Lenoir rivals. So yeah, Wheatland, Kinistano, Tisdale. Curious where that series goes. We're all over the Wheatland. It was always the Sweetland.
Babs's boys, the Tiger Room weapons for the Tigers.
Let's go to the Coppell Valley, Boz, just quickly here.
Yeah, let's hear
talk about. We've mentioned the number 1 seed, the Lumsden Monarchs. So them and Grenfell sweeps the Raymore Rockets and sends them home, and now they get a deal with the number 1 seeded hot as toast Lumsden Monarchs. They do have the first 2 games worked out. They're going Friday night tonight in Lumsden, and game 2 is Tuesday back in Grenfell, and that's all they've got scheduled so far in that series, probably awaiting Lumsden's provincial rounds and how that plays out.
Can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
How many guys does Lumsden have provincially not playing league?
Do we know that number? The number I was told is 8. I do know that some of the guys on their league team are scratches for their provincial team, more or less health bombs, as they call it. But yeah, like They got a lot of additions, and obviously we know that their league team was had too many imports. We know the story from the start of the year. Addresses at the beach boys, a little place called Kokomo. We know the, by the way, got to stop there. I just remember this. How about frickin' shout out to the Lumsden music guy? He knew Nooner had boots on the ground. We were live tweeting. He played the Beach Boys every stoppage for the last 12 to 15 minutes of the game. It was a different Beach Boys song. I thought it was a tremendous touch by Lumsden. I was sitting by Nooner's sponsor and friend of the show, former co-host, did a great job, Sean Steffen. And yeah, we had a good chuckle as the music guy kept playing the hits from the Beach Boys.
That is so good because I've always respected, because don't they come out to Rubber Band Man as a song? It's like so off the hooks. I remember my first ever, I've only been to two Lumsden games, I think, besides when I played to them, and they fucking come onto the ice and I'm like, what song is this? I'm like, this is like a Rubber Band Man. Like, I think my brother used to listen to it back in the 70s in the basement. But yeah, that is super cool. You know what? Boots on the ground Sunday, if I go, I bet you they blast a lot of Beach Boys. Here's a little trick. They should do a little trick. They should get people to, is this the Beach Boys or is this Jan and Dean? Throw people for a loop.
So
they sound the same.
The only problem with the Beach Boys at a hockey game is a lot of the songs take a little bit of build up. You know, they don't come out with the bangers. There's like slow instrumentals. So there's a couple stoppages where there was some roughhousing and penalties and stuff. So the one, we got like 45 seconds of Beach Boys, but yeah. To your question, I think about eight additions. I was saying they were shuffling guys in and out throughout the regular season, right? Because they had too many imports. Well, they don't have to worry about that in Senior A, but just some really solid hockey players. Dufour was injured early in the year. He's back. I like that Damian Bentz kid. He's super skilled, smaller, younger guy. Yeah, they're stacked. I'm all in on the Beach Boys.
What point do fans start going to the Lumsden games wearing like flowered shirts and muumuus and dressed like they're going to the beach? It's going to happen.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Lumsden.
Bring it on Sunday night.
I love that they're embracing it for sure. Where were we? We were not talking about.
I'll be the guy tanned, so I'll fit that bill.
We were just going through the Capel Valley Buzz. It's all good.
Okay. Perfect.
We're at the other semifinal. Gubba's boys, the number 2 seed Bronx and the 3 seeded Milestone Flyers, are squaring off after Milestone won 3 games against Bethune. That might have been a little surprising there that Bethune stole game 1, made Milestone get that extra game, a little extra sticks and gas for the imports. You know, it's always good.
I heard that game 3 was pretty close, 4-2. Bethune's goalie, I guess, was just unbelievable. Just kept him in the game. It should have been much more lopsided, but heard their Tandy was kicking that night.
They start their series in Dalcarys Thursday night, last night.
Okay,
But obviously, as taping, we don't have any updates on that and the result of that game. So we'll be able to report that next week with you. And then playoff scoring leader is Logan Gorsletz of the Milestone Flyers. I feel like he's been around for 35 years. I played, I don't know how many years in this league down here, and he was playing then, and he's still playing, and now leading the league in playoff scoring. Him and Kyler Sachdowski from Bethune are tied with 6
Sachdowski.
Points.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Sachdowski's season is over.
He is. So he's not getting more than 6 points. Liam Brennan from Lumsden and a couple of D-men, Austin Yano from Milestone, Spencer Trapp from the Bronx have 5 points. So it'll be interesting to see where that plays out.
Okay. So you look at that, and to me, it's like, okay, there's 4 teams in the Capel Valley Highway Hockey League who have at least a puncher's chance to win the league, right? Any one of those teams could get hot and win that league. And that's kind of like the Sask Valley. I'm going to move over there because there's 4 teams left in the Valley. And I think, honestly, fellas, any 4 of these teams could be one of the top teams in the province when it all comes down to the end of the season. The East, you got the Blizz and the Cyclones. Good rivals there. And then in the West, you get Kyle and Dinsmore. Here's my question, Millsy. Kyle hasn't been in our top 10 all year, I don't think. They could still win they could win a league and a provincial banner. Are we sleeping? And I know they I know they aren't big Nooner guys out there, but are we sleeping on the Kyle Elks here? Is it going to be like end of March? Like, ah, yeah, Kyle's in now because they won. Like, are we sleeping on him?
And I would say not really. I don't think they didn't have a great regular season. So to make this, you got to remember there is, and you guys have said it, how many teams in the league province wide is there in this 13
113, 112.
Right? And they lost four games in the regular. They were 11-4 in the regular season. So they 2-2 in league play, and they're 2-0 in provincials, but they've still lost two more games in league. So I think I don't disagree with you, but I think they're on the brink, and they need to pull some more wins out before I start thinking about them.
I just think like a month from now, they might have a game to win a provincial C championship, right? Like they beat Davidson once, they get by Carnduff, they're in the provincial final here. Like, haven't been mentioned a much, but obviously you mentioned the other teams and that, like, it's just a freaking stacked league with those final four teams going at it right now.
I want to stay in the Sask Valley in the Western Sales Sask Valley report. Kyle, you know who Kyle reminds me of as a senior hockey franchise? They remind me of the Kelowna Rockets, the Kamloops Blazers, Brandon Wheat Kings, teams that are never like really bad. Like Kyle's freaking just always there. I respect the fuck out of Kyle. I don't know if someone there doesn't really like us or whatever. That's okay. That's fine. But they're always so good in that Western Sales Sask Valley Hockey League. And then in provincials, they're always a wagon as well. I respect Kyle. And I would like to play the golf course near there one day.
All four of those teams in league semis are all still in provincials too. So it's not one team getting a bye and some rest during the week. They're battling each other in league playoffs. And then there's crossovers and they're battling in provincial runs too. So like you said, there's two banners to be hung, and any one of those four teams could hang two banners this year.
Well, and it goes to the point, right? We call them the Champions League for a reason. They could have winners in all of the provincial A, C, and D, right? Like you think about Eston, who's not in league anymore, they might freaking win the provincial championship. It's a good league for sure. And big couple weeks out there in the Valley. What else do you got on the Valley, Millsy?
Pulled up some stats again, just because that's who we are here. Playoff scoring race is looking good, but a couple of outlook Hawks are leading the way and they're now eliminated, but Caden Elder has 15 points. And his teammate Luke Nukwama has 13 points. The top active player left of those four teams is Ian Parker, the Davidson Cyclone newest import this year. He has 8 points in three games. So we'll see if he can make up some ground and pull the Cyclones through and get himself into a scoring race lead.
I wouldn't mind going over to the Nauticue. Al, I got a little write up here sent in. Hello. Oh, a little peso tip there as Barry gets another pina colada. Nauticue Hockey League, Assiniboia. So I was ridiculed pretty hard early in the year for saying I said on the preview show, it's Assiniboia and then it's everybody else. And I took some abuse on that, which is fair. I said, what's the over-under? What are they going to lose? Over or under two games on the season. And I think they lost that on opening weekend. But, Assiniboia has figured it out, fellas. Convincingly defeated Gravelberg in three straight games. Glentworth managed to advance over Hodgeville, winning three out of four, winning the best out of five in four games. An exciting Wood River Division final. Assiniboia and Glentworth. That nice barn in Assiniboia up against the renowned beef patty in Glentworth. Home ice advantage goes to the Rebels for that series. So that's the Wood River. On the other side, you got the Coronac Weapons. They beat Avonlea in three straight games, only conceding one goal in three games. Yellowgrass Wheat Kings pulled off a thrilling victory over Radville. They won the series in four games. But listen to this, Yellowgrass Radville, awesome. Every game in the series went to overtime. The clinching game even extended to double OT. So an awesome series, Yellowgrass and Radville out there in the queue. Now in the Sioux River Division, we've got Yellowgrass and Coronac. Coronac holding home ice advantage. The series going to be awesome hockey out there in the Nauticu. Nice to see that league is thriving. And I had a message sent in giving a shout out to Colton Adam from Hodgeville. Apparently this player of the week candidate had his jibs knocked out in the first shift of game two, got a high hit to the face, lost his chiclets, was back the following game, took the rest of the night off, but lost 6 or 8 teeth and he was back out there buzzing for Hodge.
Can I, do you want to move to the Twin River style? We need to get this guy a tarp, and somebody message us, because you are our player of the week, or one of them. Guy by the name of Liam Forsyth for the Allen Flames, goaltender. He's 4-0 in playoffs, a 1.25 goals against average. Not going to sleep on Casey Knight, Jordan's boy, who's leading the playoff scoring for Allen. But Allen can punch their ticket to the Twin Rivers final with a win tonight in Birch Hills. They're up 2-0 in that series. And then I've been getting ridiculed. I know I bounced back and forth between allegiances, but Willow Cree is up 2-0 on Rostern. They could finish them off tonight at the Beardies Memorial Arena. Rostern, I think there might be some injuries being played into here, but Willow Cree is rolling. So it looks like a Willow Cree Allen League final, unless I totally get egg on my face and somebody comes back in this series. But yeah, just wanted to give some love to the Allen boys as they try and punch their tickets. That's your Twin Rivers update.
Big Six, Working Man's League. Big Six update brought to you by General Well Servicing, day group of companies out there hiring always in the oil field. Foul Supper, one of the best guys in the oil and gas business, friend of the show. Always love chatting with him and his crew out there. Hey, we've got a couple teams advancing to the semifinals of the Big Six. The Redvers Rockets take down the Midale Mustangs, who are now focused on a two-game just-for-fun series with Rollo because their season is over. Redvers wins 9-4, 4-2, and 11-3, three-game sweep of the Mustangs. The other team that's moved on is Carlisle. They took it. They took down Wawota in three straight and high scoring games. The over cashed in every game. It was 7-4, 10-7, and 8-5 in that Carlisle Wawota series. So those two teams waiting for the winners of the two other quarterfinal series. Looks like Mooseman will be able to get by Oxbow. They lead the series 2-0, wins 9-0 and 6-3. Mooseman has a chance to close that one out at the old Schwainer, the Mike Schwain Arena tonight, 8 o'clock in Mooseman. If Oxbow can get the win, game 4 would be Sunday back in Oxbow. Game 5, if necessary, Monday. That's a bit of a stretch, I would say, at this point. In the other series, probably been the series to watch so far. That would be the Carnduff Red Devils and the Bean Fate Coilers. Bean Fate wins game 1, 5-4 in overtime. Carnduff answers 4-3 in overtime in game 2. And then game 3, Carnduff won 5-2. And from what I was told, 5-2, the score, the game was maybe closer than the score led on. The score wasn't indicative of how close of a contest that was. I know Carnduff, they got by him at home. So they've got a chance to close it out on the road tonight, Friday, in Bean Fate. So we'll have the semifinals set up. After those two series end, we'll find out who gets who out there in the Big Six. Preston Kopic from Redvers, 13 points in three games. His teammate Jordan Miller, who's been around forever out there, 12 points in three games. And then Jesse Gabriel also has 12 points for Carlisle in three games. So that's what's going on in the Big Six. We'll be down to the final four by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, let's jump over to the Saskatchewan,
fellas. Just quickly here, the semifinals are set there, these best of five series. And in this one, I think this is the only league in the province that I see as a best of seven final. They don't piss around out there. The Saskatchewan, straight best of seven in the final. But your top seeded Paradise Hill Hawks sweep Elk Point, winning game three. Last week, they were up 2-0. They played game three last weekend. They won game three, 15 rip. Oops. Oopsie for the Elk Point Elks. So they face off against the fifth seed Dewberry Mustangs, who upset the four seed. And they get going on Friday night in Paradise Hill. And game two is back in Dewberry on Saturday night. This other series has the second seed Lashburn Flyers. They are going to face off against the third seed Wainwright Rustlers. They both swept their first round series. They start everything on Saturday night, and then games two and three are going in Lashburn on Sunday, and then next Friday, March 1st. Regular season scoring leader Lane Young from Paradise Hill is your playoff scoring leader to date. He's tied with Lashburn's Toby Opekoku
Nailed it.
with 13 points apiece, fellas. And that's your Sask Alta Hockey League report.
I actually don't know if you nailed it, but that sounded great because I was looking at his name as you said it, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a butcher fest here because there's a lot of vowels in there. But by the way, Lane Young, you mentioned regular season scoring leader. I had to look quick that 15-0 game. He only had 7 points. So the other rest of the fellas mustered up eight tucks that he wasn't a part of that night in the 15-0. Like it's got to be like, I'm surprised there wasn't a line brawl or something. That's
Yeah,
all I, yeah.
for
What else
sure.
do we have for leagues here, fellas?
The last one we got left, fellas, Sask Prairie. I got a few notes here. Number one seeded Nielberg Monarchs are on the brink of elimination, down 2-1 to the fifth seeded Glassland North Stars.
Melzi, they were down 2-0, and I think last night they won in overtime, actually. Six, it was tied. It went to overtime. Nielberg just about got freaking swept, but they managed to pull it off in OT, right?
6-5 OT win last Wednesday night. Yes. And I seen that goal 21 seconds in overtime. So they didn't even waste any time going
Fellas
into
had to
that one.
work in the patch this morning. Yeah.
So they're looking to keep that series going. And then the 2-3 seed Miota Combines and the Turtleford Tigers are tied a game apiece. Both teams winning on the road. Games three and four go Saturday, Sunday this weekend. Miota's playing their home game in North Battleford and then back in Turtleford on Sunday. Regan Yao, you from the North Stars, leads the playoff scoring with 18 points. And his next closest is Lindsay Gibbons from Nielberg with 13. So
John's
that's your
boy. How are you?
Sask Prairie Hockey League report.
Yo, right on. Hey, quickly, I want to give some love here for our boys. I love it. They send us messages all the time. Tiger Hills Hockey League. The guys from Hartney, never been to that town, never heard of it. They sound like absolute beauties. I think this one guy sent a message to the Nooner and he was absolutely fucking buckled because it didn't make any sense. But I think they scored late in the game and then they freaking possibly won, and he was just probably pumped up, pissed drunk in the dressing room, still with his gear on, drinking at 2 in the morning. Remember those days, Melzy? Oh, those were good times. But anyway, in the Tiger Hills, because we got to get some love to our Manitoba guys, Mineota Elkhorn takes on Hartney. That's the 1 versus 4 in the West semi, and then Verdon R Rivers, they go in the 2-3. That's going to be a tough one. In the East, Killarney, who's been a wagon, against McGregor. And then Minnedosa Gladstone in the 2-3. So some love for the Tiger Hills Hockey League out in Manitoba. And then here's my last question before we get to the top 10 for you guys. Great Western Brewing question of the senior show. Wouldn't it be good if your rink can do it? It doesn't have to be every rink. When I was at that Round Lake Milestone game, if your rink has people that can do it, shovel at the 10-minute mark. Shovel the ice like they do in the NHL and the Dub, you know, because that ice got so awful with good hockey players fast. And it was like, look at this. This is fucking garbage. Maybe play with a tennis ball right now. It's so bad. So that's my thing. If a rink can do it, let them do it. What do you think,
22
Neil?
Fresh Ice Crew.
Hey, you know, playing out in an outdoor rink, having to stop game midway through and put a quick shovel down. No different there. Get your U11 team out
When
there.
we did that in the old outdoor rink at King George, you'd put your stick to the side, grab a shovel, fucking shovel it off, then you'd go back and your stick would be gone.
Melzy, before we get to the top 10, we can't forget about Saskatchewan's favorite four banger out there in the crossroads. because they're down to the final. And I know you'll talk about the two teams, but I know Dodsland is in there, and they're having like an alumni game in the final. Hey, they're bringing in some of the 08 stars. Clear the track. Here comes Kevin Marischak, might be in attendance, he says. They also have a thing, wear your Stars jersey, get in free. And I texted and asked if I could wear my youth Dallas Stars jersey I had as a kid, if that would get me in free. But yeah, go ahead with the Crossroads update.
It's the top two seeds, but it wasn't easy for the Crawford Tigers. They lost game one versus Kindersley and then come back and won games two and three by the similar 5-2 scores to send Tiger Town and Brad Heights Town to the finals. So the old games, and I just looked this afternoon, there is no games yet on the website. So anybody listening from the Crossroads, get your game scheduled, get them updated so we can give you guys a shout out. And as for scoring race leaders, Carson Dobson from the Dodsland Stars leads it with 7 points on 6 goals in 2 games. He also finished tied for first in the regular season and was a league MVP runner-up to Kyle Heights, who also has is in the league. And Brett Neumeyer of the Tigers has 7 points in 3 games.
It's Heights like the ketchup. By the way, I do have the schedule here. It's not on the website, but it is on Twitter. So it doesn't start till March 2nd. So we got some time. Game one, March 2nd. Game two, March 9th. So we're a long ways away. But this is what I was mentioning. Dodsland Stars, game one of the finals, vintage jersey night. They got a wing night. They got a 1,500 guaranteed 50-50. Free noisemakers for the kids. And 2007-2008 Stars jerseys up for auction. And that's when they were a wagon. That's when I was in high school, actually. They say, hearing rumors a few Stars legends from the past will be in the building for game one. And that's why I mentioned Shaq there, because I messaged him. And Jordy, he said Halter. He's thinking about getting boots.
Jordy Halter, too.
So it's going to be a special night. They're going to relive the past in Dodsland on March 2nd. So we love those guys out there in Dodsland. Nice to have them back.
Yeah, just one thing, fellas, before we jump into the top 10 here. I did some league poll here. There's 24 teams left in the three divisions in provincials. And here's your breakdown of the 24 teams. So the Sask Valley has 7. The Sask West has 4. Long Lake has 3. Big Six has 3. Sask East has 3. The QV has 2. Twin Rivers has 1. And then to round out the 24 teams, we have your Round Lake Bears.
Who want to be in a league next year, by the way. They want to get in the mixer.
7 teams of the Sask Valley. So that's.
I said this off the air, Millsy. I heard the Round Lake Bears. Somebody told me not only do they have a brand new glove drying machine like you see in the pros for their players, there was also a massage table outside the room a couple hours before puck drop. So, not cutting any corners to make it as enjoyable for them. And matching helmets. When I saw Lumsden fellas, I saw 5 different helmet colors on the ice for the Monarchs.
Yeah.
It's like a rainbow.
Yep. That's
anyway, as we get into the top 10 for General Well Servicing, I think people should know, Millsy, how much work you put into this. You've actually got like a top 25 going. I noticed on your sheet, you don't just do the top 10, but you've got them ranked below that. So you're always jockeying for position on your sheet. How many teams do you have ranked there?
I have 10, 13, 21, 30, 44.
Oh, my God. All right, folks, it's now time for the Monday Nooner Senior Hockey Top 44. Coming in at Chris Pronger. Okay, come on. Just who do you have at 44? Give the people who you have at 44.
No, see, I don't have them ranked. I just have them down. So I don't have them actually ranked. I have the bottom ones are just my potentials to get
so
in and out of there.
How many do you top have ranked? It's more than 10.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I've got my 10, and then I got the rest of them are all just in the mix, and I make my notes beside them. So.
Oh, so it's like the 10 and then the mixer.
And then the mixer. Could, yeah.
That's smart. Yeah, we've never thought of doing anything like that. Good job. yeah. Okay. Senior Hockey Top 10 for General Well Servicing, day group of companies always hiring in Southeast Saskatchewan, Southwestern Manitoba. Let's get into the potentials and not all 44, 34 of them, just a couple of honorable mentions. Let's get into the honorable mention.
Sure. So I got Round Lake. I'm going to bring into the honorable mentions after their big first round win in Provincial A action over Milestone. I got the Willow Cree Chiefs, Coronach Merchants, and the Gull Lake Greyhounds in his honorable mentions.
You don't think Round Lake is quite there yet, hey?
No, they haven't done enough yet. It's a one round. Yes, it was Milestone. Milestone's a good team, but they if they win this next round, then we can talk in a couple weeks.
Okay,
look at moving them into the top 10.
Fair enough.
Number 10.
Fair enough. Why don't we get into the top 10? I'll start from the White Mud Hockey League. They've been shocking people in southwestern Saskatchewan here for the last couple of weeks. The Maple Creek Hawks.
Number 9.
I know nothing about these guys. Looking forward to watching them play. Provincials. Carlisle. You got a goalie? We want that goalie. Cougars.
Number 8.
Dropped it. Up a couple spots from last week. They were in at 10 last week from the Big Six, the Redverse Rockets.
Number 7.
And I believe that would be a drop of a couple of spots, or maybe status quo, actually. Gubba's boys, Belcaris, they're moving on. It took them 3 games. They were tested to the limit in both their series. We'll see how they do against the Beach Boys in provincials and then league as well. They've got some action coming up.
Number 6.
Been here lots. Logos fresh. Keniston Blizzards.
Number 5.
In at number 5. They've been on a little bit of a heater. They were our known number 10s for a couple weeks. We jumped them up to number 8 last week, and they're keep climbing up the ladder. In at number 5, from the Sask East, the Kenora Obras.
Number 4.
These guys are good. Weren't necessarily on our radar all season long in terms of top 10, but fellas, I give them as good a chance as anybody's hanging one or two banners. They've got double banner potential. That is in Provincial D in the Long Lake, the Foam Lake Flyers.
Number 3.
At number 3, man, I'm telling you, they run a nice morning donut here. Rome's and I headed to the course. And I said, it's nothing like the Wadena Bakery, the Creamery. Number 3 team in the province. Let's give it up. Wadena Wildcats.
Number 2.
And staying status quo. They have been for a couple weeks. We've talked about them lots on the pod, fellas. From the QV and out at the beach, the Lumsden Monarchs.
Such a good team. Their provincial team is so stacked. It's, tough to beat those guys for sure.
The number 1 senior hockey team in the province.
Thought for a minute, for a hot minute there the other night, they were going to be dropping. Looked like they might lose their first game. It's the first time they've had any sort of close adversity down the stretch, but they got the win in overtime at home. They're staying number 1, the Wilkie Outlaws. Percy's boys. That'll do it, fellas. Monday Nooner Senior Hockey Top 10. Next week, we'll get Millsy to rank those top 44 so we can give more teams more love down the stretch. Love it, Millsy. Thank you so much for hopping back all on. Right. Thank you for the work you do. And Barry will be back next week. And I think next week, Millsy will be on vacation. So not sure if he'll be joining us or not. I would say let him enjoy his vacation. But
he's thanks.
A hockey guy. So right on, boys. Have a good week. Enjoy the hockey.
Thanks, fellas.